Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, amazing grace. Let us pray. Father, we praise you this morning. Thank you for every soul gathered here this morning, Lord. And we thank you for this Reformation Sunday, for every blessing, for every promise. And we just ask that you open our hearts and minds today to receive your message and that it changes us, Father God, from the inside and that it blesses each of us, Lord. We thank you for your promise, your eternal promise that you've gone to prepare a place for each of us. And may you use us all in a mighty way for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And that's what my message today is about. Once again, God using all of us. Amen. God using us no matter where we're at in our lives. So my title is Providence in the Prison. And that's God's providence. Amen. God providing for us in every way, even in the prison. Okay. So that's where we're going to get to Paul and Silas here. I got no jokes for you guys today. So it's all serious business today. Amen. All right. Okay. Myra Wattinger was 40 years old, living in Pasadena, Texas, when she experienced a traumatic event in her life. She was raped, and then she became pregnant. She didn't feel that she could take care of a child, so she placed an ad for adoption in the Houston Post newspaper at the time she gave birth to a baby boy. H.D. Hale, a local Houston pastor, and his wife answered the ad and took the baby boy and raised him in a godly home. And at the age of 14, that young man became a born-again Christian. And at one of Hale's church services, his father's church services, as a teenager, the boy felt the call of God to preach the gospel, and he surrendered his life to Christ. God's hand was upon him, and he became one of the most dynamic evangelists in America, leading hundreds of crusades and revivals and leading thousands to faith in Christ. His name is James Robinson. Now, theologically, he would lose his way in the early 80s. Let me make sure I say that. But up until that point, he was one of the leading evangelists in the world. Amen? And he led many thousands to Christ. So God can take the worst situations in our lives. Amen? This is the point. God can take the worst situations in our life, even something as horrible as this rape. Amen? And he can use it for his good. Amen. All right? And so if you haven't voted yet, remember to vote with biblical values. Amen? Because God's providence can work through any situation in your life. Any situation. So similarly, we talked about last week how God's providence prevailed over demonic opposition with this young lady who was possessed, right? And the masters were using her to make money. Remember, we talked about that. And Paul would providentially be sent by God, amen, to cast out those demons. To cast out those demons. And then, of course, we saw God's providence prevailed despite the torture and the imprisonment of Paul and Silas too, right? So God's providence would still be working, amen? Even from jail, God would providentially use Paul and Silas to witness to others, to be an example to others. The point is that regardless of our situation, the situation we find ourselves confronting or in, God is always at work, amen? And Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You see, Jesus can save the helpless, the hopeless, and those that are seeking him. Amen? Even those that aren't seeking him, he'll save. Amen? No one's out of God's providential reach, wherever we're at in our lives, whether we're in addiction or not in addiction, whether we're on the street or not in the street, God's providence is watching over us all. Amen? John Stott wrote, he said, "It's wonderful to observe in Philippi both the universal appeal of the gospel, meaning that it could reach such a wide diversity of people, and its unifying effect, that it could bind them together in God's family. Anybody. It'd be hard to imagine a more dissimilar group than the businesswoman, talking about Lydia, the slave girl, and the jailer. Racially, socially, and psychologically, they were worlds apart, yet all three of them were changed by the same gospel and were welcomed into the same church. Right? All in the same church. We too, who live in an era of social disintegration, need to exhibit the unifying power of the gospel. Amen. Because it's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. The point is, God can bring us all together for his purpose, right? From the truck driver to the teacher to the counselor to the stay-at-home mom to the retired widow and even to the person recently released from jail. Amen. We can all come together in God's house for God's purpose. Nowhere else in society will you experience that kind of unity, amen, and that kind of diversity. Nowhere else but the church, amen? God is so good and so amazing, and it's great to be in his house, so praise God for that. But the gospel can also divide us, amen? The gospel can divide us. Remember I said last week, not everyone's going to be happy about us being delivered from our sins. And I was just preaching to the guys in the jails yesterday about this. And I'm like, not everybody's going to be happy when you get out of jail and you tell them that you found Jesus, amen, and that Jesus is the Lord of your life and you're not going back to that sinful life you had. He said, not everybody's going to be happy about it, but God's going to be happy about it, amen. You see, some people, a lot of people, enjoy, like I talked about last week as well, living in their sin. And they will oppose the gospel in every sense and in every way they can. They want nothing to do with it. Amen? It irritates their demons, they say, right? And this was what was happening in Philippi, okay? Paul and Silas, in the midst of doing a good deed, right? Driving out this girl's demons, they had disrupted the sinful way of life for these people in Philippi. And in doing so, they would be beaten and jailed and tortured. But God's providence in the prison would prevail because they would lead the jailer, the one who was torturing them, they would lead him and his family to Christ. Amen. Amen? That's God's providence working in every situation. You go, God, right? Right? Amen? I like that. You go, God. And then rather than escape, okay, Paul and Silas, in order to save the jailer's life, newly converted life, Paul and Silas, they'd go back to the jail, right? And the Lord's providential work would continue. They could have left, said, thank you, Jesus, and just left. But no, they stayed for the jailer and his family, amen? So our first verse says, when it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, release those men. Talking about Paul and Silas. Amen? Release those men. They had gone back to the jail, remember, to save the jailer's life because the jailer was going to kill himself if they escaped. And we talked about that last week. These men were the same magistrates who had put them in jail. Amen? And now they sent a message saying, you're free to go. You guys are free to go. Maybe because they had to repair the jail. I don't know, man. Maybe they had no place to hold them. Or maybe God's providence was working on them as well. Amen? And that's what it was. In any case, God was breaking the chains. He was breaking those chains. And in verse 36, the jailer would explain to him and said, the jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now go. Leave. Go in peace. Right? You guys can get out of here. You see, God didn't send the earthquake for a jailbreak. Right? That wasn't the reason for it. Amen? The earthquake was for a conversion of the jailer and his family. And God's providence would prevail on his schedule. Amen? In his timing, in his place. And so verse 37, Paul would say to the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we're Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Just like Paul, huh? Let them come themselves and escort us out. And I'll tell you why he said that in a minute. But the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed, right? They were worried now. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Now they're asking them, you know, please leave the city. So the first thing we see here is now Paul and Silas are revealing that they're Roman citizens, right? Just push the left door hard. Push it. There you go. Trying to lock them in, man. That's right, Adam. Adam, can you go stand guard at the door over there? It's not time to leave yet. God's providence is working right now. But the first thing we see here is Paul and Silas, they reveal that they're Roman citizens, okay? And the significance of that is when they were attacked and beaten and jailed, it was actually illegal for them. It was going against Roman law because they were Roman citizens. Amen. So just like people in America are due to fair process, right? Due process. So were they. Amen. So because they're citizens, they get treated differently. They get treated better. Amen. So we have to wonder why they didn't mention that they were Roman citizens earlier, right? Maybe they could have got off earlier, right? Well, we don't really know why, but I'm sure they were being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because obviously God had them where he wanted them to be. Amen. God's providence was going to work because the jailer and his household were going to be saved. So they're in the right place at the right time. And who knows how many more people that family would witness to, right? So it just goes over and out and just amazing, right? So God obviously had everyone where he needed them to be at this time of the church's infancy, right? The church was growing and growing. And maybe God has all of us right where he wants us to be as well. Amen? Today, all right? And maybe there was a ministry or a mission at some point in your life that didn't work out for you, all right? It's possible, right? It didn't work out for you at some point in your walk with Christ. You see, God will open and close doors, amen? Even cell doors when he needs to guide us and to use us in a mighty way, amen? When he wants to. And so Paul and Silas were right where God needed them to be. He didn't want them to escape. He wanted them to stay there with the jailer. And the fact that they were Roman citizens was now going to give them some leverage when they needed it. Amen? So God's plan is amazing, right? And the second reason that they had taken their lashes, if you will, was the fact that their beating and their imprisonment was going to be damaging to their testimony if they were to leave. If they would have just left, it would have been damaging to their testimony. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, talking about pastors, says, pastors must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that they will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Amen? Our testimonies, your testimonies, are vitally important to the effectiveness of our witness in the world. Amen? Our testimonies are very powerful. And that's why we're called to give our testimonies. Amen? So Paul decides it's time to take advantage of his leverage as a Roman citizen and preserve his own witness. He was innocent. This is the point, okay? He was innocent, and he wanted to prove it before he walked out of that jail, right? Because he wanted to make sure that the church was going to have a good name. This was a young church. It was a new church, amen? And you know, Paul always put the church first, and so should we. Should always put the church first in your life. Amen? Warren Wiersbe wrote, he said, Paul and Silas wanted to leave behind a strong witness of their own integrity as well as a good testimony for the infant church in Philippi. Therefore, they were unwilling to sneak out of town because that kind of exit would have left the new church under a cloud of suspicion. Amen. So it gets even deeper, right? They wanted to stay there so that the church didn't get a bad name. for what they had done, right? Because what they had done was not wrong. Amen? They were innocent. In our last verse, verse 40 says, after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, which was the cradle of Christianity in Philippi, amen, and where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. A couple of sermons ago, I spoke about how Luke had started to talk in the first person, like he was with Paul. Remember that? And he was, and that's because he was, okay? He was with Paul. He had joined them, and he had joined them in Macedonia, right? And here in verse 40, the pronouns are going to change again. Amen? And Luke's going to start to talk in the third person again. He says, as they traveled. It's not we anymore, right? As they traveled. This means that Paul had left Luke in Philippi. He left him there, right? The pronouns have changed. He left him there. And the reason for that was he trusted Luke. He trusted him to stay as the new pastor, as the new leader of the church. Amen? So he would stay there to run the church. And so not only do we have Paul and Silas, they're evangelizing, they're leading everybody to Christ while planting churches, but they're also being careful that a good reputation is left for the new church of Christ as well. Amen? And that good leaders are left too. And so they're proven innocent, and we're upholding the church's good name. And that's what we need to do too. Amen? Always uphold the church's good name by our actions and by our testimony. So how does all this pertain to us? Our reputation as Christians matters. Amen? People are watching us. Our reputations matter. There are two ways to build a reputation. One, you can earn it by hard work and honesty, or you can borrow it from somebody else's reputation. Amen? And that's what a lot of people try to do in the church. And how is it that we build and earn our reputations, you might ask? By working hard and honesty, but mostly by staying true to God's word. That's the number one thing. Amen? Staying true to God's word. It is the truth that sets us free. Amen. Right? Amen. And it'll earn us a good reputation. Amen? And nobody can take that away from you. And in recovery, our influence and success as teachers and leaders relies mostly on the testimony of our victories and our defeats. Amen? Because we talk about our defeats as well, because we want to talk about where God's delivered us from too. Amen? So we share our defeats and our victories, not somebody else's. And that's how we gain trust and build relationships, right? Sponsor, sponsee, and accountability partner relationships are built on trust. We trust each other because we're open with each other. Amen? This is how we build a good reputation. D.L. Moody said, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. Amen. Right? So if we're good people, amen, we're going to have a good reputation. And if we're following God's word, we're going to be good people. Amen? Praise God. 1 Peter 2:12 says, NLT says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he comes to judge the world. Amen? They won't forget. They will not forget. And how do we live properly day in and day out? We do it by making a choice. We make a choice every day. Amen? And that choice is to yield to the Holy Spirit, not to the flesh. Amen. We yield to God and the Holy Spirit. We do not yield to the flesh. But living in this world is a daily temptation in the flesh. Everywhere we go, we're going to be tempted. Amen. So how are we going to react today? How are you going to react when someone cuts you off in traffic? Right? How are you going to react when they give you an obscene gesture as well? Right? How are you going to... Don't talk about me, Alicia. Okay. She talks about my driving all the time. Are you going to be tempted to react with road rage, which is a natural reaction in the flesh? Amen. Are we going to do that? Or are you going to react supernaturally and show the world a different way to react? Amen? A different way of life, a different way to respond, a way that we as Christians are called to respond as. Amen? Because when we start to live that way and respond that way, God starts to move in our lives and He starts to change us. We become a new person. Amen? Instead of cussing people out, we're called to pray for them. Right? That's the difference. That's what changes us. We're called to pray for them. Instead of fighting back, we're called to keep the peace. Right? Keep the peace and walk away if you have to. Pray for them, but keep the peace. Amen? Instead of retaliating and catching up to them and cutting them off, back off, right? We're called to slow down and forgive them. Slow down and forgive them and just keep on driving. Amen? You see, when we change the way we live, God's providence will show up. And He'll show off. Amen? He'll show off for sure. When we humble ourselves and say yes to His call, despite what circumstance we're in, God can use us all in a mighty way to lead others to Christ. And that's the number one thing, right? Leading everyone to Christ. That's what we want. We want God to use us for His kingdom, both here on earth and in heaven. Amen? And God can and will break every chain if we let Him lead our lives. Every chain. The world thinks that by being angry and unforgiving and trying to make the first move, that they're being strong. But that's not strong. Amen? That's not strong. The reality is the world is enslaving themselves every time they choose to be angry and satisfy the flesh rather than God. Amen? When we withhold forgiveness and stop praying for others, we're putting the chains back on. We're putting the chains back on, right? In our lives, when we're becoming more and more enslaved to our sin and to our emotions, right? Our emotions shouldn't control our lives. Our faith in God controls our lives. Amen? Paul and Silas would choose a different path, and that path was going to set them free. It was going to be best for the church, but it was going to set them free. Not just physically from the jail cell, but spiritually as well. They were going to be set free. They were going to walk out of that prison free of guilt, free of hate, free of hurt and pain, and that would only keep them enslaved if they kept that pain in their hearts, amen? And they were going to leave that behind. They were going to be completely free to choose to follow Christ. Amen. And so are we. We're free to do that every day, amen? To follow Christ. They would take the free will given to them by God and choose the path that wasn't only best for them, but it was best for the church, right? And that's what we're called to do. When we choose the right path, which is the path of freedom in Christ, God's providence will prevail, even in the jail. Not only in the prison, but in every area and aspect of our lives, God can work. Amen, when we allow Him to. God will work in our lives. So let us be set free from our past, and let us move forward in our freedom of Christ. Amen? Because with Christ, all things are possible. Amen. Praise God. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this message. We thank You for the strength You give us, Lord, the peace You give us when we live our lives for You. When we say no to the flesh and yes to You, Father, and we thank You for every opportunity You give us to serve You and Your kingdom. I ask for a blessing upon all those who are struggling today, whether it's health or with their lives, Lord, that you bring a blessing, that you restore our lives, Father God, break those chains, and may Your church continue to grow, continue to flourish, and continue to watch over us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.